The sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, even something so simple as a fishing trip, when directed by Jesus, contains deep meaning. Indeed, the Gospel tells us of two miraculous catches of fish. Today's Gospel, from the beginning of our Lord's ministry, with the calling of St. Peter, and then another Gospel read on Easter Wednesday, telling of another miraculous catch after the Lord's resurrection. If we compare these two incidents, we will see that the first catch of fishes summarizes the history of the Church on earth, and the second catch shows the destiny of the Church in heaven. In both miracles, the boat represents the Church. This symbolism of thinking of the Church, Church with a capital C, as a boat is even reflected in the architecture of our physical churches. The nave where you sit, generally the largest part of the church, is reserved to the faithful who assemble there when they participate in sacred ceremonies or come as individual for personal prayer. Symbolically, the nave, located between the porch, which represents the fallen world, and the sanctuary, which represents heaven, represents the Church on earth, the state of redeemed humanity. By the way, the word nave comes from the Latin navis, which means ship. One reason for this is visual. The nave ceiling often resembles the inside of the hull of an overturned ship. A ship represents the Church, which travels through the floodwaters of this life to the safe haven of heaven. The ancient fathers of the Church, therefore, often interpreted Noah's Ark as a prefiguration, as the announcement of the Church. Moreover, Catholics see the Church as a bark of St. Peter. In today's Gospel, Jesus preached to the crowd sitting in St. Peter's fishing boat. Today, he continues to speak to us in the Church, the ship of which the Pope, successor of St. Peter, is the helmsman. Taking our place in the nave of the Church should remind us of our place in the universal communion to which we belong. In the rites for the ordination of a priest, the bishop addresses these words to the assembled people. The captain of a ship, as well as the passengers, are in the same condition as to safety or danger. Their cause is common. Therefore, they ought to be of the same mind. If faithful, the fish is caught in this miraculous draught, of course, represents the souls brought into the Church through the teaching of the apostles. As the Lord himself explains, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to be fishers of men." Since early Christian times, the fish has been a symbol of Christ. Since the Greek word for fish, ichthys, is an acronym spelling out the first letters of the expression Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Speaking of baptism, the early Christian writer Tertullian wrote, "We little fishes, after the example of our ichthys, Jesus Christ, are born in water." And St. John Chrysostom adds, "This is indeed a new manner of fishing. Since those who go fishing bring fish out of the water and cause death to their catch, we, Christians, however, throw human beings into the waters through baptism, and when they are brought out, they are vivified." Now for the differences between the two fishing trips. In today's gospel, the nets start to break. Dear faithful, the nets representing the preaching by which men are brought into the church are damaged, because during her earthly sojourn, the church is rocked, is attacked by trials, and her mission is threatened by heresy, division, and schism. One important point is that the apostles initially had an unsuccessful night of fishing. They only succeeded once Christ himself told them to go fishing. "Master, we have labored all the night and have taken nothing. But at thy word, I will let down the nets." We almost get the impression that St. Peter is at first a bit impatient, as if to say, "We fishermen of Galilee know the best time for fishing. And here is a carpenter from Nazareth telling us how to do our job." But when they obey his word, they are successful. And this is the basic truth of our whole spiritual life. Without me, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. It's also the basic truth about the church mission. When the fishermen trust in the Lord and present the gospel in all its fullness, souls fill the nets. But when the leaders of the church trust in worldly thinking and compromise the hard truth of the gospel, things start to flounder. "The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God," said St. Paul. We also know that the church on earth is made up of saints and sinners, both. One of our Lord's parables is like the complement of today's gospel. "The kingdom of heaven is like to a net cast into the sea and gathering together of all kind of fishes, which, when it was filled, they drew out, and sitting by the shore, they chose out the good into vessels, but the bad they cast forth." We can read in St. Matthew. On the other hand, the miraculous catch of fish after the resurrection illustrates not the church militant on earth, but the church triumphant in heaven. First of all, in that second catch, the Lord is not in the boat, but on the seashore. In the ancient world, the sea, with its dangerous waves and frightening inhabitants, was a symbol of the dangers of the world. The seashore, though, is safe and stable. So after his resurrection, Jesus was no longer subject to the ups and downs of this life, but he was safely on the other side. And it is a church goal to bring us to safely to this solid land of heaven. Let's note also that in this second catch, the Lord tells the apostles to cast their nets only on the right side of the boat, whereas before they drop the nets wherever. Although the church on earth contains good and bad fish, in heaven, the church is a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing, but holy and without blemish, containing only the saints. That is why this time all the fish come from the right side, as the Lord says in teaching us about the last judgment. The king shall say to them that shall be on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, possess you the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Those who are on the right side. This is nothing against left-handed people, of course. It is just that the right side symbolizes a place of honor, and the left side in the ancient world was less worthy. In fact, the Latin word for left even gives us our English word sinister. By comparison with the first catch of fishes, this other account specifically tells us, although there were many fish, the net was not broken. This is because in heaven, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and death shall be no more, no mourning, no crying, nor sorrow shall be any more, for the former things are passed away. Dear faithful, the trials which rock the church in these lives, scandals, persecutions from the outside, the example of bad Catholics on the inside, will one day come to an end. So in the second catch, there are only good fish in the nets. And indeed, the gospel even tells us specifically how many they are. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. There is a specific number, because in heaven there will not be a generic crowd, but a very specific gathering of people, those who are called the elect, the ones foreknown by God from all eternity, will have cooperated with God's grace and thus achieved their salvation. Bad fishes separated from the good by the seashore. 153 giant fishes brought to the Lord. Dear faithful, this is a sobering reminder for us that all men were created to be saved, that God wants all men to be saved, but all men will not be saved And that is up to us to decide which net we want to be in. Although, and I quoted the menu, as I quoted him a minute ago, Jesus tells us, without me, you can do nothing. The opposite is fortunately also true. And it's from St. Paul. I can do all things in him who strengthened me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.